Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Mendenhorn's Mini Talk for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, Episodes 8 and 9. J-Ro here with Foshizzle.
Yo, what's up, everyone?
And we got a couple of fun episodes of JoJo to talk about. The last time we talked to you, maybe you weren't too excited about 7, but personally, I thought 8 and 9 were a little better.
Oh, yeah. 8 and 9 have some absurd moments, but it's JoJo, mm-hmm. and that's kind of why I think I like it.
Yeah. And that absurd or bizarre moment in episode 8 was the fight between Jean-Pierre and Silver Chariot versus Soul Sacrifice and Ebony Devil. And it starts off with a fight where a guy crawls out of the refrigerator, and Silver Chariot very easily beats him, and then he falls over the edge of the hotel, and then here comes this doll that's just fighting and laughing and beating up JPP and talking about cutting off his testicles and stuff. It was very entertaining and unsettling at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. It's like my earliest childhood memories of like horror movies were like Chucky. Uh-huh. So this episode was like kind of freaking me out. I watched it. Because those little dolls, like this, you know, like you said, he's just demonic little creature that's just running around. And he talks about cutting this guy's balls off and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised how he like just almost owned Jean-Pierre like, so easily. Like, damn, this little doll.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not much, but he almost owned him.
Yeah, he was able to tie Jean-Pierre under the bed, which gave him a huge advantage because Silver Chariot was not able to see, or because Jean-Pierre couldn't see, he couldn't aim Silver Chariot in the proper location. But some, you know, bizarre moments like the breaking of the mirror, allowing him to see other areas and then be able to defeat Ebony Devil then was just really cool. And it was a really action-packed battle with some nice animation in there. It was the kind of battle that I've been kind of waiting for from Stardust Crusaders so far. My favorite stand battle of the series.
Right. It's my favorite so far since we had the very first fight when JoJo fought Kakyo, and that fight was pretty cool. It was bloody. Yeah. And like you said, this one, it kind of shows you that, you know, these stand users aren't all powerful because like Grand Pierre, he needs line of sight to see you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, it shows you that they're probably playing to that later on, where you can't see your opponent. How do you fight with your stand? But yeah. It's kind of nice. It's not like, oh, I got a stand, that way I can do anything I want. Like, no, you actually have to be able to see the target and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. And then, other than that, besides the whole thing at the beginning about who gets what hotel room and how Anne didn't want to share a hotel room with Jean-Pierre, was the Joseph using his stand as sort of a video thing or audio thing to sort of decipher messages from the TV, and it said that Kakyoin is Dio's servant, and that is what led us into episode 9 with Kakyoin having that menacing look to him and sort of being off-putting in front of JoJo and or Jotaro and Anne.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Yeah, that part was just... I couldn't stop laughing when I first seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. But yeah, I was going back to what Grandpa JoJo was doing. It was like, his power... It was kind of funny how they're doing that. Like, he had to change the channel. Every other word was the message. It's like, yeah. that's pretty clever. Mm-hmm. And the TV exploded. I'm just like, don't... This guy just... He's gonna destroy any electronic, I swear. He's just...
Yeah.
And yeah, you were saying with Kakyo, when he starts going, when he starts getting the crepes and everything, he starts going like little, or whatever he's getting, goes a little crazy with the, I guess the coconut juice where they buy. Because some mm-hmm. guy, I guess, steals his wallet. And he just like, I almost gets ready to kill this dude. And Jotaro stops him like, damn. And like you said, the girl kind of notices like, he's not normal.
Yeah. He's like breaking a dude's back. One of my favorite lines from that was, "You're worth as much as a sewer cockroach's dick."
Yeah, made me laugh.
Wow, that's some crazy writing there, JoJo.
Yeah, that is.
So what we quickly find out is that it's not the real Kyokyoan. It's actually Rubber Soul and Yellow Temperance that we're dealing with here, who can kind of change form to look like anybody else. And in the battle against Jotaro, Jotaro gets a little bit of the yellow slime or whatever substance on his hand and tries to light it on fire, tries to freeze it. It doesn't help. So it turns out that the best strategy to use against Yellow Temperance is the classic JoJo strategy, run.
Yeah, but he's like getting ready to do this big speech, like the Joestar family motto or whatever, something like that, what we believe in, and it's run. And I just started laughing because I was like, I remember that in the second half with Joseph, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty much the strategy that they always go with. Mm-hmm. It also reminds you of like One Piece, like something Usopp would do, like his strategy, like I want to fight, and like no, my strategy, you know, plan Alpha and then like run away.
Yeah,
something random like that. And the rubber person transforming was kind of freaky because he turns into that fat woman. She's all like, he's playing with her boobs and everything. I was like, oh god, this guy is creepy. And he finally sees his true form. Yeah, he looks like a creeper.
Yeah, kind of looks like you know, getting back to One Piece, Rob Lucci. A little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit. But that was the thing about his stand, is that he needed to breathe sometimes, so he kind of left himself open in that one instance, and then that's when Jotaro came up with the strategy. And then there's a thing while they were by the in the water. Yeah, he thinks he's got another chance, but here comes Jotaro to foil his plan.
Yeah. I like how the villain guy's just kind of like, don't hit me. Like, he's trying to apologize and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, you know how these play out. He's not going to be
He's
gonna
inching
be truthful.
A little bit. Yeah.
Right.
To the sewage area there.
And he's trying to suck him through the drain pipe. I'm like, oh, God. No.
And the way that the guys figured out who the real Kakyoin was when he came back, and they said that he went to the sort of the pool to sunbathe, is like with your school uniform on. Yeah, that's the real Kakyoin.
Yeah, that's him. Like him and Jotaro like attached these uniforms. Like they're not gonna get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just weird dudes. And getting back to Yellow Temperance in his last moment, he was talking about some of the other guys that they're, you know, we will be expecting to see. And Centerfold is the name of the man with two right hands. So that is something for JPP to look forward to as we get through the series.
Right, we're finally going to, you know, he's going to finally see that guy and fight him, and they figure out what happened, and yeah, it's getting interesting. We're getting to the good part.
Did we say it was arms before? I feel like
I think
we did.
So. Two right arms. It was just, it kind of comes out the same thing. Two right arms, two right hands.
Yeah, it's very true.
So it's like, we're getting close to that character, which I'm curious to see what he's like.
Yeah. And then they were talking about Anne meeting up with her father, but as it turns out, she's just in the next train car.
Yeah, I was like, I have a feeling that I almost want to take a stab that her dad's the man with two right arms.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I'm thinking that because she's still following them, so like they're gonna see him probably soon. So it's like, could be it. I mean,
yeah. I think those are good hints, and also similar skin complexion.
Right, I was gonna say, yeah, when they do the flashback of showing him for the first time, he does look like a little dark skin like her. So it's like, yeah, I could see it, and because you have to give him the whole character development of, is he gonna kill this guy? Is he gonna get revenge, or are you gonna let him live?
Mm-hmm.
Is he gonna forgive him or not?
I wonder if it was the possibility of Anne being the Jean-Pierre's sister's friend there.
Right. Yeah, it could be. I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
Because I guess, you know, it was his sister. Maybe they could be similar age, about 11 or 12.
Because they've shown these two, like, they have this dynamic when they're choosing the room. She was going to go in the room with him, and he's like, no, they're arguing. So it's like, they're hinting towards something later on, like showing that, hey, these two have a connection somewhere.
Yeah,
so that's definitely setting something.
That's a good call. So episodes 8 and 9, on the whole, much more entertaining.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, good stuff.
All right, and hopefully we'll be back to weekly episodes of the mini talks for episode 10. We're close to halfway, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah, it's exciting, but then it's kind of like, oh, realizing you only have, you know, maybe 13 or 14 episodes left.
I wonder, like, you know, I'm starting to read more manga, like, how long before I give in and just start reading the JoJo manga?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm close. I know it's really long, and there's, like, I want to say 9 parts, so it's like, oh, man, this is going to take a while.
But if it's as fun to read as it's been to watch, then, you know, it'll definitely be enjoyable. So that's it for our episode 8 and 9 mini talk for Fosh. I'm J-Ro. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.